is Igor Cavalera from Go Ahead and Die and Healing Magic. You are listening to That Metal Interview Podcast. Keep banging your head.
That Metal Interview.
The almighty Cavalera family strikes again. We have as a special guest bassist for Cavalera Conspiracy. As far as the tour goes, the Cavalera albums, re-recorded albums, Morbid Visions and the EP Bestial Devastation. We're speaking of Igor Amadeus Cavalera, bassist for this tour, the Cavalera tour, and he is the frontman guitar player for Go Ahead and Die, as well as Healing Magic. He will talk about those projects and the brand new album coming out from Go Ahead and Die, Unhealthy Mechanisms. Listen to that. Nuclear Blast presents Go Ahead and Die, Unhealthy Mechanisms, dropping October 20th. Very cool. Let's go directly to a single and video for Go Ahead and Die. This is Desert Carnage. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Who doesn't know the Cavalera family, the Cavalera history, the Cavalera story? It all started with Sepultura back in the 80s with Max Cavalera, Igor Cavalera, Jairo T on the guitar, and Paolo Jr. on the bass. That's the original Sepultura. I believe they had one more guitar player before Jairo T. But anyways, the point being, the Cavalera history dates back to the 1980s, to the days of Bestial Devastation, 1985, 84, give or take, Morbid Visions, the first full-length album for Sepultura back in the day. And that was Max Cavalera on the vocals, guitars, and brother Igor Cavalera on the drums. And so we come to Max's son with the same name as Igor. His name is Igor Amadeus Cavalera, that is, to be precise. And he's playing bass, as I said, on the current touring cycle for Cavalera as they are touring those re-recorded albums. Right now, they are at the end of the U.S. run, Morbid Devastation tour, that is. And they're going to Europe in a bit, so look them up on their socials. Our guest being Igor Amadeus Cavalera, and he is promoting his brand new album from his band, Go Ahead and Die, in which his dad, Max Cavalera, is one of the guitar players. But most of the vocals are coming from Igor, the new Cavalera blood. Go out and pre-order Unhealthy Mechanisms Nuclear Blast Records. So anyways, enough talking. Let's go and listen to the interview with Igor Amadeus Cavalera. Enjoy. What part of the planet are you at?
Right now, I'm actually in New York City. I'm currently on tour with Cavalera Conspiracy, playing the Morbid Visions and Bestial Devastation albums.
I saw you guys in San Antonio a couple of weeks ago. San Antonio,
Texas. Oh, awesome.
Yeah, you guys are just on point. You guys sound like a machine, man. I just have no words. You guys.
Oh, thank you so much. That's nice to hear.
How long did you take to learn these songs? Also, did you record these new versions of the re-recordings?
Yes, I played bass on the albums, and it probably took me 2 months to learn them. They're crazy songs. They're very crazy songs.
Right? A lot of detail.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it took about 2 months and then another month of practice before the actual tour.
Nice. There's a lot of details that... did your dad help you out with a couple of things you might not understand, or did you get it by yourself?
You know, I learned a majority of it on my own, but yeah, there was a couple riffs I had to be like, you know, what exactly are we doing here? What do you want the bass to do? You know, because I, you know, you can learn so much by ear, but sometimes they might want you to do a specific thing. So yeah, we did work on it together.
Wow. What an exciting activity. It's awesome. I wish I had a dad like that. A rock star.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you know, it's fun to work with them on stuff, for sure.
Which is your favorite Cavalera song to play live?
Right now, probably Necromancer off the Bestial Devastation EP. That song is great. Very heavy, very fun to play. Good headbanging song for sure.
So as far as your bass sound, I noticed it's not a clean sound. What do you got on there going? You got a little bit of a fuzz, a little bit of distortion?
Yeah, to be honest, it's a pretty simple setup. I use Orange cabinets. I use an Orange Mini Terror bass head. And to be honest, the fuzz is just a Boss Super Overdrive. Very simple pedal, very old pedal. But it gets the job done, you know. You just crank the gain all the way, gets a nice fuzzy, dirty sound. And yeah, you know, I think for this stuff, it needed to be kind of a dirtier bass tone to complement those chainsaw guitars.
Yeah, I like that word right there, chainsaw guitar. It's very cool.
Definitely
sounds great. So let's speak of Go Ahead and Die, the new album, Unhealthy Mechanism, dropping October 20th. Right? Are you excited?
Oh, I'm super excited. Yeah, you know, it's a monster of a record, and it was an absolute pleasure to write it, record it. You know, everything about it was very expressive, and just a very, very fun creative process. You know, I think it's one of the most extreme records I've ever recorded. I think one of the most extreme records my dad has ever recorded, and yeah, we really can't wait to unleash it on the world next month.
Nice. Who wrote the record? I understand you did most of the producing, or did somebody help you?
The majority of it. You know, I had some of the songs I started working on while Max was on tour with either Soulfly or Cavalera. And so some of it I came up with on my own. But he collaborated. He brought some riffs to the table. And I wrote almost all the lyrics as well. So it's a little bit more my end of things on this record in terms of the writing. But Max did contribute. He brought some good riffs to the table. And, the mixture of both of our writing styles is very complimentary. And I know people will enjoy it. You know, I think people are going to lose their shit over this record a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. You got some good stuff there. The stuff that I've heard so far is awesome. Where do you get yes, of course. Where do you get your vocal ideas from? Where does inspiration come from? Is it from Max or from other artists?
Personally, my influences were primarily from old crust punk, like Doom and Discharge and stuff like that. As well as lots of death metal and grindcore. Bands like Extreme Noise Terror and Brutal Truth and Terrorizer.
Nice.
The mixture of very brutal, low growling with high-pitched screaming and everything in between. And lyrically, this album dives into mental health and, particularly declining mental health. The lyrics really dive into the dark part of the mind. The influences definitely came from the late 80s, early 90s, hardcore punk and crust and grindcore primarily.
What kind of guitars and amps did you use to record this? What's a quick, rig rundown for the studio stuff for Go Ahead and Die?
As I mentioned, I'm a endorsed artist with Orange. So I used an Orange cabinet for my parts. I think Max played through a Marshall with a PV head. And we both use ESP guitars. I used an Eclipse, which is kind of like a Les Paul body ESP for the rhythms. And, I used a Viper for the leads. So actually we each use two different guitars. So there's four different ones you're hearing on the record to give it that complimentary sound.
Nice. Which is your favorite track on there?
I gotta say probably the opening song, Desert Carnage. I think it was the perfect song to open the record. It really sets the mood for the themes and the sounds that we were going for on that record. You know, that first song is a very good representation of it. To me, that song is just brutal from start to finish. And, to me, there's not a note that's really out of place. You know, everything just rests right where it should be nicely. And, like I said, it's the opener. I think it was the perfect song to open the record and, get people ready for what to expect with the other 40 minutes.
A fan question. Will we ever see Go Ahead and Die on the road?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's actually a very major priority for us at this point. The band was started in the middle of the pandemic, any shows that we were trying to do during that time got canceled. And then my father is one of the busiest guys in metal,
right?
So scheduling can be a little difficult sometimes, but with the release of Unhealthy Mechanisms and the Morbid Devastation tours coming to a close at the end of the year, we're planning the first half of next year to tour with Go Ahead and Die very extensively. We're absolutely going to do the States and hoping to get over to Europe and hopefully Latin America and do some worldwide touring as well. So, keep your eyes open. We will definitely be touring a lot next year, and I'm very excited about it.
A different subject here. We understand you released a horror novel, Negative Legend. Where did this idea come from? Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Writing is a passion of mine, just as much as music. It's an art form and a creative outlet that I really enjoy doing. And, for me, when I was getting into music, I was getting into punk and metal and post-punk and things like that. Horror was something that I took a very big interest into as a teenager. I basically always had a book anywhere I would go. You know, I was very much a bookworm growing up, and pretty nerdy, to be honest.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, like I said, it's definitely just a passion of mine. And yeah, Negative Legend was very fun to create. It's to give listeners a little background, it's basically a supernatural kidnapping story that takes place in a small town in America. And yeah, you know, it's an art form that I really enjoy getting to express and getting to work on. And you know, basically, if I'm not working on music, I'm sitting at my computer coming up with scary stories. And it's a big part of my life, and something that I plan to continue doing and continue writing and keep publishing books.
Wow, that's a different craft right there. That's just kind of like writing a long song, kind of like a movie, huh? It must take a lot of time.
Absolutely.
How long did that take?
You know, it takes a couple years to do each book. You know, anywhere between 3 and 5 years, depending on how much time I get to write. And yeah, you know, I think that's one thing I like about it, is it's kind of a common medium to songwriting. You know what I mean? It's something that I can do simultaneously, work on both of them at the same time. And, it's all storytelling to me. My songs are stories, just as much as the book is. But yeah, like you said, a book is a bit more of a long-term process. You know, each of those is 50,000 to 70,000 words,
right?
Where a song is usually 200 or 300. But you know, to me, they have a lot in common because of the storytelling aspect of it.
Have you looked into making a movie out of one of your novels?
I would love to, you know, but I would probably have to get a Hollywood budget, somebody to back it up for me. You know, so just keeping my fingers crossed on that one. But yeah, I would love to see an adaptation of one of my stories one day. That would be amazing.
Let's speak Healing Magic, Volume 1, Fire, came out last year, right? Talk about that album, if you can.
You know, Healing Magic is kind of, that's kind of my baby. You know, that's a band that I have the main creative control of, and, you know, it's a very epic idea, I guess. You know, as you mentioned, the first record is called Volume 1 Fire. It will actually be a 4-record concept, you know, each album being a different element, you know, fire, earth, air, and water. You know, and it's a cool thing to do, you know, and it's very different than Go Ahead and Die. It's very different than Cavalier Conspiracy. It's very on the sludge side of things. You know, that band takes a lot of influence from the New Orleans scene, bands like Acid Bath and I Hate God, you know, as well as some of the California stuff like Neurosis and Sleep. You know, so it's very different pace. You know, it's much slower. It's a bit more crushing and heavy style, you know, but you know, that's kind of my baby. And you know, we've been playing with that band this year. We've been writing. We have another album on the way that we're hoping to record next year. You know, hopefully have out next year, maybe by the year after that, depending on how things go. But yeah, you know, Healing Magic is a band that I really love playing, and it's once again, you know, it's another form of art that I'm creating that allows me to have that expressive output, you know, and I'm very excited to keep working on Healing Magic.
Wow, you're just a busy guy.
Oh yeah, I don't stop.
Talk about being born with a passion, right? You have all these ideas, 50,000 words for a novel, Healing Magic, Cavalera, Go Ahead and Die. Is this since at what age did you think or did you notice that you had this passion and you gotta, you know what, I gotta put this somewhere on paper, or I gotta pick up a guitar, or what? What age was this?
I was very young. You know, it's hard to pinpoint exactly, you know, when I really made that full decision. But yeah, I was young. I was definitely, you know, 12 or 13 when I started playing guitar. You know, I was 15 when I started writing stories. You know, so it was something that came to me young, you know, and it just came from my influences. You know, to me, all of those things were synonymous, you know, metal, punk, horror, even fantasy, things like that, sci-fi. I took an interest in it all very young, and you know, it did not take long for me to realize that that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to pour my heart into it, pour my life into it, you know. And at this point, I am quite busy, but it's a happy form of being busy, you know. It's a creative lifestyle, and I'm constantly getting to come up with ideas and work on different things and keep myself busy. And you know, in a way, that's how I stay sane, you know, is constantly working on stuff.
Wow, your parents must be proud. I got two small kids, 13 and 8, and I'd be super proud if they turned out like you, you know, writing novels and bands and guitar player, bass player, vocalist. Awesome.
Oh, thank you. You know, I mean, I was a rebellious teenager, to say the least. But they were always supportive of the ideas and the stuff that I wanted to come up with, you know. And I think being able to share that passion with my dad and, you know, with my mom, who manages everything, it's been amazing to be able to keep things in the family. And they're very proud of me, and that's a good feeling. You know, it's nice to know that they're supportive of what I'm doing. And, they will have my back however they can.
Nice. Back to Healing Magic real quick. Some people might not know this is a two-piece band, right? Where did this come from? I know there's White Stripes. There's a two-piece band, right? Was it by accident or by design?
It was not planned at first, to be honest. When we first started, we were actually a three-piece. I was playing bass for the band when we started. And, our guitar player was actually from Baltimore. He's a good friend of mine, Travis, who's actually playing with Cavalera now. So, me and him are very intertwined through different projects and things. When we were starting Healing Magic, he was originally in it, but he ended up joining Pig Destroyer. And, that was a bit of pressure for him and a lot of music that he had to learn. So we had condensed the band to a two-piece for the time being. Our original intentions were to look for either a new bass player or possibly a new guitar player. Once we started jamming as a two-piece, it just felt very natural, and it felt, it didn't feel like anything was lacking. I play my one guitar through three different speakers, two guitar speakers and a bass cabinet as well.
Oh wow.
I was able to achieve this huge, nasty sounding guitar tone with just the one instrument. And I think for us, that's part of what gives Healing Magic this cool dynamic and makes it a very interesting band to watch live. The fact that it's just two of us composing so much noise and just being very, very loud with just a guitar and a drum kit, you know. And that was something that to us it felt very, very cool and very natural and very fun to play that way.
That's Johnny on drums, right?
Yes, that's Johnny who just played on the recent Go Ahead and Die record as well.
So you mentioned the guitar, you got these different sounds. Did you install some pickups in there and then different input jacks installed in the guitar, or how did you accomplish that sound?
I was able to do it with basically just a what they call like an AB box. So it's a two channel pedal that will basically link up to one instrument. So,
wow.
Basically, I run a full guitar rig into the A side of it and a full bass rig through the B side of it. And, thanks to that pedal, I'm able to play all those cabinets at one time. And it's much more experimental music. It's a little more on the psychedelic, trippy side.
Yeah.
And I use quite a bit of effects and noise and things like that with that band. But basically I was able to just run a full guitar rig and full bass rig through the one guitar, thanks to that AB switch box.
Yeah, I saw some footage on YouTube. It sounds great. It sounds badass. I see no need for a bass player, but that's up to you. You know, are you still holding auditions for a bass player, or are you going like that with your guitar like that?
I mean, as of now, you know, the intentions are to just stay two piece. You know, just because, you know, Johnny's one of my best friends, and you know, even outside of music, we get along very well just as people. You know, so I think it would be hard to find a third person that shares that connection with us, you know, that would share that friendship and the, you know, just that bond that we've kind of created over the years. But you never know, you know, at some point we may introduce a third member, you know, if we happen to come across the right person, or, you know, perhaps even bring in somebody to do, keyboards or samples or something like that. You know, we are open to those ideas, but as of now, we're going to keep things us two and see how it goes. And you know, only time will tell on that.
A little bit about yourself here, Igor. At what age did you realize you had a rock star father, a metal icon?
Oh, I mean, pretty much as long as I could remember. You know, my parents did as much as they could to bring us on tour with them and bring us to shows. You know, so I was seeing shows as young as, you know, 2 or 3 years old, basically being a baby going to shows, you know, before I could even remember. So, you know, I've always kind of known that he was a musician, and he had a, you know, very large following and this and that. And, you know, yeah, it's basically been my whole life.
Wow. And then at what point did you notice you had an awesome uncle that plays drums like that, a beast drummer like that?
Oh, I mean, it was a very similar thing. Yeah. You know, I was basically born around the time when my dad was in Sepultura and Nail Bomb and stuff like that. You know, so it was, like I said, it's basically since birth, you know.
Wow. How does it feel jamming with two legends like that? No pun intended for Travis, of course. He's an awesome guitar player too, but as far as Max and Igor, it's just complete legends as far as fans go, you know. How does that feel?
Oh no, it's great, you know. And I definitely I approach it as a business, and you know, even though they're family, I try to approach it with complete professionalism. And you know, exactly, I mean, they've been playing for 40 years. They know what sounds good. They know what they want out of a musician. And, you know, they definitely have high expectations that, you know, me and Travis both need to meet. Yeah, so we, you know, we approached it with a lot of professionalism and a lot of practice and, you know, a little bit of perfectionism even. You know, so despite them being family, I try to respect them and approach it as two very talented musicians. You know, so it's definitely approached with a level of business with it as well. But it's been amazing, you know, to get the chance to play these songs is a huge honor for me. And, you know, it's a privilege to be able to do this.
Wow. Give us an update on Lodi Kong. Is that done for, or what's going on there?
Yeah, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Lodi Kong is pretty much said and done. You know, we had kind of broken up back in 2018. You know, my brother Zion was playing with Soulfly, and, you know, it was just getting too difficult to, handle the scheduling and things like that. You know what I mean? I wasn't getting to work on it as much as I would have liked. You know, so it ran its course. We were a band for, you know, 7 or 8 years or so. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's kind of in the past now.
What kind of music do you listen to, Igor? Is it just strictly metal, rock, or do you listen to other genres? I guess, what's on your playlist, you know?
I mean, I quite literally listen to everything. There's not really a style of music that I don't enjoy. You know, it's primarily, yes, a lot of metal, a lot of hardcore punk, and DB stuff like that, but I have a big interest in goth music. I listen to a lot of post-punk and, you know, dark synthwave kind of stuff. You know, everything from that to hip-hop to, you know, I even like some old-school outlaw country.
Nice.
You know, yeah, you know, so I pretty much listen to everything. But, you know, my big three are definitely sludge metal, hardcore punk, and goth music.
Here's an off-the-wall question. If you could time travel, where would you go to and which year?
You know, I would have really loved to see the rise of rock and roll and things like that. You know, so early 70s to be able to see bands like, you know, like Sabbath and Deep Purple, you know, early heavy metal and hard rock bands, you know, as well as some of the early punk stuff, you know, the New York punk, like Ramones, stuff like that. Wow. You know, to see bands like that up and coming, is definitely something that, given the chance, yeah, I would absolutely love to do something like that. You know, see the rise of heavy extreme music.
Wow, very cool, huh? Do you think it'll be possible sometime in the future? Time travel, maybe?
I hope so. I have an open mind, you know? You never know what science might achieve.
Right. The government might know something, yeah.
That's true.
There's a couple of comments online, Igor, about you. Nothing bad. Of course, you're badass. Some people are saying you're starting to look more and more like Cliff Burton. What do you have to say about that? Yeah, do you have anything good to say about that or bad? And are you a fan of Cliff?
Oh, I mean, Cliff was a legend, and, you know, he was a handsome enough guy, so I see it as a compliment, you know? And, you know, I think it's one of those things, it's the rocker look, you know, be scruffy facial hair and, you know, ratty long hair and dirty clothes that you've been wearing for a few days on the road, you know, I think that's just, that's synonymous with guys like Cliff. You know, even my dad, you know, a lot of people compare me, you know, that I look like him back in the early 90s, you know, so yeah. I take it as a compliment, you know, whatever you want to think about me, you know, you're free to your opinion, but I don't see it as a bad thing, you know.
Very cool answer. So what's next on your agenda, Igor? What's going on in your life right now? Soundcheck for sure, stuff like that. After this tour, I guess, what's going on?
Yeah, you know, after this tour, we head home for a couple of weeks, and we are off to Europe in November to do more of this Morbid Devastation stuff. So, yeah, I get to go home. I get to chill out for a couple of weeks, see my cats, see my girlfriend. And, yeah, before I know it, I'll be back out on the road. So, you know,
very
things
cool.
are coming up really fast.
Very cool. You're a cat person. Very cool. Nice.
Yep. I love the kitties. Yep. They deserve all the love.
Right. So for people listening, Unhealthy Mechanisms dropping October 20th. Pick it up, stream it, and download it. And of course, support Igor, support all the bands, right? So before we let you go, Igor, would you like to send a message to people listening?
Yeah, you know, just please check out the record. Check out all of my different bands. You know, come see us with Cavalera Conspiracy. Come see us with Go Ahead and Die next year. You know, keep your eyes out for Healing Magic. We'll be doing some stuff as well. You know, yeah, I'll have another book on the way, hopefully next year. And yeah, I'm staying busy on a lot of different things. So, you know, check out my social medias, check out my things to see what I'm working on. And yeah, you know, just keep supporting heavy metal if you can.
Awesome. Thank you for your time, Igor. Keep rocking and keep writing badass novels. And hopefully we'll see Go Ahead and Die and Healing Magic on the road soon.
Yep. Likewise, it was a pleasure to talk with you, and yeah, thanks very much for your time, and hope to see you on the road, all right?
Negative Legend is Igor's horror novel that you can find on those markets as we speak. You guys can check that out for the novel Fanatics, and this is coming from Igor Amadeus Cavalera, and he is working on another one, as he said, so awesome. Support his projects, Healing Magic, Volume 1, Fire. It came out May of 2022. Check that out. That's a two-piece band, as he talked about. And, of course, the project that he's promoting right now from Go Ahead and Die, the band with his father, Max, dropping October 20th for you guys, for all of us fanatics, that is, as I am a fan, too. And I saw these guys in San Antonio maybe a month ago. The Aztec Theater, I saw Cavalera exhumed in sight, and they all kicked ass. And Cavalera, I just got to say, they're on point. They are a beast to be reckoned with. All the Cavaleras, and of course, not to leave out the guitar player who was not a Cavalera, Travis of Pig Destroyer, who is touring with Cavalera on the lead guitar right now. So anyways, also support Pig Destroyer, right? Thank you, Igor, for accompanying us and being a part of That Metal Interview podcast. Thank you to Gloria. Thank you to the PRs and the record label Nuclear Blast Records. Thank you for arranging all this stuff. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Igor, for the great metal, of course. And keep them horns up in the air, guys. So don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on socials at That Metal Interview. Twitter, X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We're under J-Rock's Metal Zone. And for now, keep your ear out for other awesome interviews as this podcast keeps chugging along and is one of the fastest rising podcasts in the whole earth, the whole globe, the third stone from the sun. So thank you, guys, on behalf of your friend James from the state of Texas, from the US of A, from the third planet of the sun. And don't forget to keep it metal.
That Metal Interview.